As you know, we're in the series in Philippians called The Joy of Jesus. The Joy of Jesus. And last week, we had a good intimate crowd last week, and we were glad to have you here. And we looked at, number one, the danger of a superficial religion. Philippians chapter 2 said, beware of dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the concision. So we were looking at those who try to devour the fellowship, those who try to divide the fellowship, and those who try to disrupt the fellowship. And then we looked at the deception of self-righteousness. In verse 7, Paul said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss, or counted for Christ. Paul had added up everything in his life, his pedigree, his parents, the purity, his perfection, all the things, his position in life, and found out that they were a great big fat zero in the eyes of God. Because all of those things are good. It's not that they were bad things, but as far as God's concerned, that's not what we deal with. And then we looked at the delight of a saving relationship. In verses 9 through 11, Paul said, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Folks, there is nobody like Jesus. There's absolutely no one like him. And there's nothing like knowing the Lord. So we're going to begin this morning in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. I do not mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize from which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. And if you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that you'd open our hearts, give us what we need today. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, as I said last week, I believe it was last week, the old preacher who said, I'm going to tell him what I'm going to tell him, I'm going to tell him, and then I'm going to tell him what I told him. And that's what I'm going to do again this week. I'm going to look at leave the past, live in the present, and look to the future. So let's look at the first one, leave the past. In verse 13, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. In other words, forgetting the past. He was determined not to let his past hinder his present. Not to let what happened before to him to hinder him in his service for God. He had to let go of the guilt of his life. Remember, before he got saved, he was a murderer. He was a blasphemer. He tried to destroy the church. So those were things in his life. And Satan would drag them up before him and try to make him feel guilty. And Paul had to let that guilt go. He really did. He also had to let go of the past grief in his life. Remember, he had suffered terribly. He had been beaten. He had been shipwrecked. He had been scorned. He had been left for dead. He had been alienated. He had to forget all of that grief. Those are the things that he had to put behind him. Another thing he had to put behind him was past grudges. He had been mistreated, he had been betrayed, he had been lied on, he'd been sold out by his family, sold out by his friends, so-called. And he had to forget those things if he was going to serve God. What a lesson for us. Because Satan really will try his best to make you think you're not worth anything. You can't be anything for God. Paul was not going to be chained and he was not going to be conquered by his past. He said, forgetting those things, I'm reaching forward. I'm going forward. And you know there are some today who don't serve the Lord because of their past. They've allowed Satan to rattle the skeletons in their closet and bring them up before them, and it gets in their mind. You need to lock your skeletons in the closet and give God the key. Let him have it. Let him take care of it. Because you know what? He's really good at that. He does it very well. Now, don't get me wrong. There are things that we need not to neglect. When Paul was saying forgetting the things that are behind, he was talking about those things that weren't very good. But there are some things that we need to keep on doing. The first one is we need to keep on talking about the Savior. Amen? We really do. He said in chapter 1, verse 21, Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Wow, what a statement. You remember on one occasion the Sanhedrin arrested Peter and John, and they threw them into jail for preaching and told them not to preach Jesus any longer. Stop preaching Jesus. And in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So let me ask you a question. Have you been saved this morning? Nod your head. Okay. Have you confessed your sins? Nod your head. Have you repented of your sins? Nod your head. Okay. Have you asked Jesus to save you? Nod your head. Everybody's in that? Then keep talking about the Savior. Keep letting other people know about Him. That's the reason we're here, isn't it? Aren't we supposed to make disciples, bring them in, teach them how to bring them in? That's our job. That's what we need to do. So we need to keep talking about the Savior. Secondly, we need to keep studying the Scriptures too. In Psalm 119:11, David said, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." You want a barrier for sin? Here it is, right here. That's a barrier. Because if you keep that word of God in your heart, when those things come about that you know are wrong, Scripture begins to come into your heart, begins to come into your mind. You understand what's going on. Paul told Timothy, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Peter said, "Be ready always to give an account of the hope that's in you." Let me ask you that question. If somebody came up and asked you, "Why are you a Christian?" could you tell them? Could you? Or if they said to you, "How do I become a Christian?" could you tell them? Study the Scripture. Study the Scripture. And thirdly, keep serving the Lord. I mean, that's in Galatians chapter 6, Paul said, "And let's not be weary in well-doing." Folks, we've been well-doing for a long time. Let's not get weary at it. He said, "For in due season we will reap if we faint not." If we keep on going, God's going to get us to where He wants us to be. And he goes on to say, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto everyone, especially them who are the household of faith." And you ought to underline that in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. We're to do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. Especially to those who are the household of faith. Sometimes we get at odds with one another, don't we? Come on, this is class. We get at odds with one another, don't we? I mean, we grumble and complain sometimes. Maybe not grumble and complain. Maybe that's the wrong word. We grumble and complain. Yeah, we get at odds with one another, but it says we're supposed to do just exactly the opposite. We are to do good to everyone, especially to those who are the household of faith. Because Paul said in Colossians, we serve the Lord Christ. That's our service. We're serving the Lord. And in serving the Lord, what did the Lord do? He served others. And that's our job. We serve the Lord when we serve others. We also should serve one another at church and in the community. So we need to continue to talk about the Savior. We need to continue to study the Scripture, and we need to continue to serve the Lord. Those are foundational things. No matter where we go, those are foundational. And in Psalm 11, verse 3, it says, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" In other words, if we're not doing those things, those are the pillars of our assembly. Those are the things that we need to continue to do. So, Paul said, "I'm leaving the past, all of the things that I could just grumble and complain and just have a horrible time with, I'm leaving them alone. I'm remembering the things that I should. Things that I should continue to do." And then he says, "I'm to stretch forward in our service." We're to live in the present. We're leaving the past. Now we're going to live in the present. Verse 13 in Philippians 3 says, "But I focus on this one thing." It's interesting as you look in the Scripture about the idea of one thing. It's very interesting. Remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus inquiring about how to get saved? Jesus said, "One thing you lack. And he went on to say, sell all your goods, give them to the poor, come follow me. And it says the rich young ruler went away very disappointed because he was wealthy. Jesus said to Mary and Martha when they were arguing over the service, you know, one wanted to, she was in the kitchen and she came to Jesus and said, what is up with this? I'm paraphrasing, okay. What's up with this? Look, Mary's just sitting at your feet. I'm doing all the dishes. I'm working my fingers to the bones. And what's she doing? Jesus said, Mary, Martha, 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 one thing is necessary. And that's worship. That's worship. Listen, service comes after worship. If you're not worshiping the Lord, the service doesn't matter. David said in Psalm 27:4, one thing have I asked from the Lord, that will I seek, his glory. That's what we are here for, to give glory to God. You know what really made Paul the man he became? He focused on one goal. He had one goal in his life. He was a one-track mind kind of guy. And the reason why so many Christians today are living wasted lives, they don't grow, they never improve, they never mature, they never reach the God-given goal that they have, is they have wrong priorities. They're putting other things before the Lord. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll take care of the rest of that stuff for you. And that's where we are having a problem these days, is because our priorities are not where they're supposed to be. Too many Christians are jacks of all trade, masters of none. I mean, we just are all over the place. But Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You're either serving the Lord or you're serving yourself or the world or whatever, but you can't serve two masters. James said in James chapter 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't go two ways at the same time. And if you want to be useful in your Christian life, you set your goal and then you stay on it so that you begin to reach it. You'll never become a success for God unless you have a single focus in your life. You got to focus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul said, this one thing I do. He was a one-focused man. So we're supposed to leave the past. We're supposed to live in the present. And then we're to look to the future. Paul said in verse 14, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, success in your Christian life is a matter of three things: inspiration, determination, perspiration. All three of those are essential in your Christian life. Getting your commands from God, being determined that you're going to do the commands that God has given to you, and work with all your might to get it done. You see, many Christians fail because they quit. And you know what? They quit because they failed. It's a what do they call that? A catch-22? If you quit, you fail. You see, Paul could have quit a lot of times. He could have easily given up. I can imagine the devil whispering in his ear, why don't you just give up, Paul? It's not worth it. Take the easy road. Why don't you just forget? Get out of the fight. Let go of your dreams. And I can hear the Apostle Paul say, I want to let go, but I won't let go. There are battles to fight by day and by night for God and the right. I'll never let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. What? Lie down in the field? Surrender my shield? No, I'll never give up. I'll never let go. I want to let go, but I'm not going to let go. I'm sick. It's true. I'm worried. I'm blue. I'm worn through and through, but I'll never let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. May this be my song mid legions of wrong. Oh, God, keep me strong. because I'm never going to let go. What about you? You going to let go? Yeah? No? I hope you never let go. Too many Christians today have let go. They're not what they ought to be before the Lord. The Lord's told them and they know it. I hope you're not one of them. Well, what are we supposed to be looking forward to? Let me give you a couple suggestions. Maybe four, maybe seven. That depends. First, we need to live our lives in a positive way. We need to be positive. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about your life, your particular life? Is it worthwhile? If it isn't, what would it take for you to feel like your life is worthwhile? What would have to happen for you to be better, feel really positive about your life? If you won the lottery, would that do it? No, you'd have relatives coming out of the woodwork, wouldn't you? It's everybody in the world. So maybe that wouldn't be it. What about if you got a promotion? What would it take for you to really feel like you are in a positive place in your life? You know, the world will tell you what it means to be positive, feel good about yourself, to climb the ladder of success, make a lot of money, receive rewards, belong to the right circles. You know, you're really excited because you're the first vice president of the prevention for pit bulls on crack or something along those lines. I mean, you know, you're getting real excited about those things, but they're not any good. That's what the world thinks. But the Bible teaches we're to feel good because God loves us. We are such treasured people in God's sight. We all know John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, that's how much he loved us. And that's what makes us valuable. All of us are valuable. We can feel good about ourselves. So many people today have poor self-images. They feel like they're the products of blind chance and they're accidents of nature. They were unplanned and unloved and unwanted. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 14, David said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. That word fearfully is the word awesome. It's the word awesome. We are awesome and wonderfully made in the sight of God. He cares for us and he loves us. In fact, he said in 2 Corinthians, I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. John said, how great is the love of the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. That's the kind of love he has for us. So we're to look at our life in a positive way. We're also to look for ways to enrich the church. In Romans chapter 14, Paul says, therefore, let us keep on pursuing those things that bring peace and that lead to building up one another. Folks, there's more to ministry than just listening to the announcements and singing the hymns and the spiritual song and giving your hard-earned money and listen to me babble on for 30 or 35 minutes. There's more to that. There's more to it than that. There's such a great opportunity for service. We're getting ready to launch into something that you as a group have not had before. And that's exciting news. We need to pray for God's will. We need to expand our thinking beyond Sunday. I know, some of you are saying, Pastor, that's very, very difficult. You don't know my schedule. My schedule is brutal. Did I just hear you say difficult? Did you just say that? You didn't really say that, did you? Remember when God told Abraham at the time 75 and Sarah at the time 65 that they were going to have a baby? Abraham doubted, Sarah laughed. Genesis chapter 18, verse 14 says, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Is there? No. Remember when Moses, 80 years of age, on the backside of the desert, useless as far as he was concerned, as far as God was concerned. And in Exodus chapter 3, he's walking along and he sees this bush, it's burning. And it isn't being consumed, it's just burning away. And in verse 11, Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. In other words, what he was telling God was, I can't be a leader. You don't understand. You just don't. He said a little later, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before or since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and I'm slow of tongue. In other words, he stuttered. He didn't know what to do. In other words, he was saying, I don't have what it takes. You can't be calling me because I don't have what it takes. I remember when God called me. And I said the very same thing. And I didn't know anything about Moses in the burning bush. I just said, I can't talk in front of people. I just can't do it. And then I remember Genesis 18:14. Is there anything too difficult for God? My wife will tell you when I get started, wow, watch out, get out of the way. Because I'll just go and go and go and go. Moses said, I just don't have it. But look what God did with him. Look how God miraculously uses him or used him. See, this world thinks we're wasting our time when we come to church on Sundays, listening to the sermons about God and about Jesus and giving our money to build the kingdom. But you know what? The things that this world calls wasteful are things that will last for all eternity. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What kind of treasures can you put in heaven? Well, it's nothing physical, folks. It's serving the Lord. It's giving to the Lord. It's bringing souls to the Lord. Those are the things that are passed on and are there waiting for us. You remember in the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd had 100 sheep and one of them was missing. And you would think at that point he would say something like, well, I still have 99. I mean, you know, I just lost one. That's all there was. I mean, still, I still have a huge flock, only lost one. No. He went out looking for that one lost sheep. And Jesus said when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And then Jesus goes on to say, I say to you likewise, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. You know, there's cheering going on every time somebody gets saved. That's another member of the society. Another family member has just been brought in. That's the reason Jesus came. He said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So we're to look at our lives in a positive way. We are awesome. We are wonderful. In fact, turn to somebody, tell them you're awesome. Huh? Come on, turn and tell them you're awesome. Awesome. She's awesome. All right. You see, God doesn't make junk, folks. When he made us, he made perfection. So we're to look at not only look at ourselves in a positive way, we're to look at ways to enrich the church, serving and giving and witnessing. Paul said we're his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. So when God saved you, he has a job for you to do. I know I talked to a lot of Christians who say they don't think there's anything that they can do. Well, yeah, if you're saved, you've got something to do. And you need to listen and ask the Lord what it is he wants you to do, and then do it. Do it. So we're to look ways to enrich the church. And thirdly, we need to have a positive attitude towards others. We really do. We need to have a positive attitude. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, do good to all. The church has got to be a place where we can all come and be accepted and loved and encouraged and built up. We've got to have that. A place where people to help us carry the burdens and everyone feels welcome. If you were to search the New Testament and just look up the words one another, over 55 times in the New Testament, one another is used. Greet one another. Accept one another. Love one another. Be at peace with one another. Be devoted to one another. Be kind to one another. Build up one another. That's talking about the family. So let's make sure we have a positive attitude towards others. Peter says, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, because love covers a multitude of sins. People need positive people to influence them. In fact, John said in 3 John, greet the friends by name. Teresa. I'm working on it. I think I told you this about how to remember people's names. So if you use it 5 times in conversation, you'll remember their name. So I've been working on Teresa for 3 or 4 weeks now. So I'm she is my test subject, and I'm doing well. I remember your name every week now. Greet one another by name. Paul said, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Listen, you can't not forgive everyone because Christ forgave you. You've got to forgive. That's a command. So we've got to continue to talk about the Savior and study the Scripture. And we need to serve the Lord. We need to be positive as we look at our life. We need to be positive as we look at church. Because we are the body of Christ in this community. Amen? We are. And Paul and Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. So here's the way we boil that down. We're to leave the past. Those things that are awful in our past, let them go. We're to live in the present. Live looking for the opportunities to serve one another and serve the church. And look to the future. Look for what's coming. So, are we reaching for the prize? Or are we just stuck somewhere in the past? I hope we're not stuck in the past. I hope we're on track. Listen, God's blessed us with a very caring congregation. The people here love one another. They share with one another. And He has big plans for us. He has big plans for us. The things that are good that we have are about to get much better. You know why? We're going to a new church home. And in our future, my prayer is that we have enough happiness to keep us sweet, that we have enough hope to keep us eager, that we have enough success to keep us happy, that we have enough friends to give us comfort, that we have enough enthusiasm to make us look forward to tomorrow, and we have enough determination to make today better than yesterday. Listen, folks, I don't have enough sense to know how to lead this church or even my own life. I need God's power. We need God's power. We need the Lord Jesus to make it through this life. And I don't know what the future holds for ECBC, but I know who holds our future. And He said, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun the good work in you will perform it until He comes back to get us. To God be the glory. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we have a God who loves us, who cares for us, who wants the very best for us, who loves us. Lord, I pray this morning that if there's anybody here who has a doubt in their mind, that they would speak to you. I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister to each person here. And if there's something in our lives that we need to let go, today would be the time we let it go. Whatever your need, whatever the needs are, you're able to take care of them for us. So we present them to you. Lord, we just thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. The Lord speaks to your heart this morning. Whatever your need is, you do business with the Lord. You deal with Him as we sing.
Decided to follow Jesus.
Right there.
I know. I just had him. I told him to come down.
Oh, okay.
To follow Jesus.
Keep the people here for just a minute.
Yeah.